This is Dr. Stan at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. Now, our regularly scheduled guest is not yet called in. So rather than just to sit here and worry about it, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give us a call at 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. In case there's something that you're worried about, that you're concerned about, that you'd like to talk about. But of course, I think everybody is thinking about what's happened since Tuesday, and certainly we've seen Donald Rumsfeld resign. And who do they get to replace him but another member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a gentleman who's been with the Central Intelligence Agency. And today we were getting all sorts of articles off the Internet about how the new head of the Defense Department, Secretary of Defense, was instrumental in arming Saddam Hussein Alder in the 1980s in his post there intelligence community. In other words, he was arming Saddam Hussein, and now he's going to be mounting the military offensive to try to bring stability back to Iraq. Well, you must understand, if you really look at Iraq from a military point of view, why we're in the mess we are today. And in large part, the responsibility was that of Donald Rumsfeld, who understood from the very beginning we were not going in to try to defeat the insurgency. I mean, after all, we'd created this whole situation, we'd created the instability because of the activities of Paul Bremer and the dissolution of the military and the police force and the civil service. And the one thing you did not want to do is bring in adequate troops and let the military do what they could do. The military could have won Vietnam at any time. We would never let them win in Vietnam any more than we have any intention of letting our military win in Iraq today, because at the very, very top, during most of the time in Vietnam, Henry Kissinger was in charge from 1968 until 1973, when we were defeated, and Henry Kissinger is one of the major advisors to President Bush today. Is our guest here? Well, I guess we don't have our guest, so we're going to have to ask you, if you're out there, to give us a call at 1-800-259-5791. Why, is Jim here? I keep hearing voices in the background. I don't know if you're hearing them as well, but under any circumstances, why? Oh, is Jim Curry here? Guess not. Well, then let's put him on, please. Jim, are you there? Jim Curry, are you there? Well, I don't know why he's talking. Would you see if you can get him talking there? Okay, very good. And let me know once you have him talking. Otherwise, why, there's going to be an awful lot of dead air. But the great tragedy is you needed twice as many men as we have. Maybe three times as many men. Jim, are you there? Jim, hello, are you there? Jim Curry, are you there? Well, we can't just keep repeating ourselves. Maybe they can get that thing straightened out, but right now we seem to be having difficulty getting hold, being able to hear our guest speaking. Jim Curry, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll be back right after the break to discuss the issues. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm vice president with the National Association of Chiefs of Police. We have about 14,000 members, police chiefs, sheriffs, and command officers across the country, federal, state, and local. I worked myself in law enforcement in New York City Division of Housing.
Hold that thought, we'll be right
there. The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Dad, can we stop? We need to go to the bathroom.
What? Again? We just stopped 2 hours ago.
Honey, let's stop because I gave the kids their Sport Berkey water bottles.
Why did you do that?
Because they can't drink and talk at the same time, and that way we don't have to listen to them singing,
"Are we there yet? Are we there yet?"
for the entire trip.
I didn't think about that. Great idea.
Yeah, and it's cheap entertainment for the kids. Bottled water costs around 75 cents a bottle, and using our Berkey Sport bottles, it costs us less than 2.5 cents per refill.
Honey, you're terrific.
Oh, honey, so are you. You're the one that bought the family our Sport Berkey water bottles. Now, can we stop? I need to go, too.
Get your Berkey Sport Purification bottle for only $39 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest today is works with the organization of the Chiefs of Police, and of course he's been in law enforcement himself for many years. But we were going to talk today about the immigration issue, and there was a wonderful article in Cop Magazine, which is published for the Chiefs of Police, about the immigration problem. So I'm going to let John go ahead and pick the story up there.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Tim.
Tim, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I have a brother named John.
Okay.
I've written a number of articles for years on the subject of border security, illegal immigration, illegal aliens, and their impact on this country, on our country, as far as public safety issues. Because that's one area that I think has been neglected in the debate that we hear in Washington, D.C. No one wants to talk about the amount of crime being committed by illegal aliens coming into this country. If you look at government statistics, and I've written about this, if you look at government statistics where they do identify the nationality and the immigration status of criminals, you will find that they commit a disproportionate amount of crime in the United States, and we're not just talking about law-breaking coming across the border. We're talking about homicides, we're talking about rapes, and a lot of child predators out there. The drug trafficking is basically coming into this country through Mexico. The Mexican mafia has become a very powerful organization, and then you have MS-13, which originated in El Salvador, and a number of other groups that have emigrated into the United States, and they are having an impact on local police departments across the country. So my the latest article had to do, and I think you're talking about the one that was in that also appeared in News with Views and the Conservative Voice. That article had to do with the Border Patrol, retired Border Patrol agents who have formed an organization and have issued a position paper on what needs to be done to effect a comprehensive border patrol, border security policy, as well as an illegal immigration policy. And they seem to be ignored by the powers that be in Washington. Same thing with the union for the current Border Patrol officers. In my article, I quoted a number of members of the Border Patrol who feel that Washington is, to use a better term, scamming Americans, telling them that they're going to be doing things like building a security fence and initiating programs that will curtail the invasion that we're witnessing at our southern border and our northern border as well. And yet they only do that around election time, and the Border Patrol agents wanted the American people to know that. And they too were ignored. The mainstream media does not cover this issue at all, and when they do cover it, it's usually from the point of view of illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. During the last election, they all but ignored the issue, and I believe that the GOP did terrible on Tuesday because of illegal immigration. President Bush last week saying that he wanted a Republican Congress to put his guest worker program together, which is a de facto amnesty program, did a lot of harm to his own party. So I think that Americans are realizing that the both parties, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, except for a few individuals, a few exceptions, are doing relatively nothing to secure our borders and to protect our sovereignty.
And I think that's really one of the big problems of today, is that America is being invaded today. Our sovereignty, the integrity of our nation is being intact, but the tragedy is this whole movement is being aided by people at the highest levels of our government who have sworn to uphold our Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and they're just not doing it.
No, they're not. And again, one of the major problems that we have is the message is not getting out there to the American people how serious this is. It's not just a bunch of people coming into the country illegally, although that's a crime in itself. But it's about the sovereignty of the United States. It's about the Constitution. It's about protection against terrorists. It's about a number of issues. And they only get what they read in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Fox News Channel, CNN. And these people, even conservatives that they put on the air on these shows, are pro-illegal immigration if you really listen to them. So the American people only get one side of the story. And conservatives, I think, are getting fed up with both parties. They already were fed up with the Democrat Party. They're fed up with the GOP. In fact, a friend of mine, who many people will recognize his name, Michael Moriarty, who's a former actor. He was in the show Law and Order. He's now a columnist up in Canada. He was one of the first people to really warn me about what was going on as far as illegal immigration and how it is part and parcel of a move to create this federal union, this union between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. In other words, a continent without borders. And this is part of the overall internationalist or globalist or whatever you want to call it, their agenda.
Well, I always liked Michael Moriarty. I'm really sort of miss him on Law and Order there. That fellow plays the part of the DA, of the assistant DA, does a pretty good job. But Michael did such a good job on that. And, you know, I wish he was still there. And I'm amazed that he understands really what this is all about, because you're absolutely right. This is an effort to destroy the sovereignty of our nation. And the people who are doing this, working in our government, know exactly what they're doing and are betraying our nation. Now, you talk a little bit about the MS-13. You know, of course, here where I am, we don't see much of an MS-13, but apparently in the big cities, it's a real problem. Could you tell us a little bit about this? Are these biologists,
sure,
have we been led to believe?
Okay, the MS-13, they're a group that originated in El Salvador. In fact, a number of them are former leftist guerrillas that were fighting the government in El Salvador. Some of them are also trained military people. They immigrated into the United States illegally, of course, and they have been recruiting nationwide. Originally, it was Salvadorians, but now they're accepting other Latinos into the group from Honduras, from Mexico, from other Central American and South American countries. The FBI estimates there's about 20 to 30,000 of them in the United States right now. They classify them as a street gang, but they are more like the mafia than they are a street gang, in that they're well organized, they have a hierarchy. In fact, the top people are called generals. They are very militaristic in their approach to organized crime. They have this hierarchy that, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. They wanted a rival drug gang to be executed. So what they did, they brought in someone from, this was in Florida, they brought in someone from Los Angeles to take care of it for them, and then they flew them right back to Los Angeles. So this is a very organized group. They are not a street gang. They are basically guerrillas working within the United States, and the numbers keep increasing. They are recruiting within the United States and also in Mexico. I mentioned before the Mexican Mafia. These are the two major groups that the FBI and local law enforcement are concerned about.
Why can't the FBI do something about them? Certainly, they are working as a criminal syndicate. You would think they would have them infiltrated, and they would be able to arrest the leaders.
Well, they are. You know, every day I get reports all the time from the Homeland Security Department, especially from ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement people. And every day I get these reports because we represent 14,000 police chiefs, so they want them to know what's going on as far as the feds. And if you read these reports, every day they're arresting and prosecuting and incarcerating leaders of the gangs and members of the gangs and associates. They're involved not only in drugs, they're involved in money laundering, they're involved in weapons export to, for example, MS-13. There's a link between MS-13 and Al-Qaeda and other Middle Eastern terrorist groups, not because they believe in the same ideology, but because these people will pay for weapons. So they're involved in that as well. So they are being arrested, but if you have an open border, you're providing them with more and more people. You have illegals coming into the country. If they can't find a job, this is a great alternative for them. They get involved in gang activity.
Well, now, of course, is it Al-Qaeda buying weapons from MS-13 or MS-13 buying weapons from Al-Qaeda, or both?
No, this is MS-13 providing the weapons.
Providing the weapons for Al-Qaeda.
Right, right. And other terrorist groups. You know, they're down there below our border. In fact, General Pace, and again, you're not going to read this stuff in the New York Times. Every once in a while, you'll be able to listen to on C-SPAN one of the committees, and in this case, I was watching General Peter Pace, who at that time he was the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now he's the chairman. But he was talking about South America, in the area around Bolivia and Colombia and those areas. No,
Jim,
in South America,
where
you do have terrorist training camps.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Jim, and he, of course, with the COP organization, and we'll tell you a little bit later about it. I don't know, do people subscribe to that magazine, or is it primarily go to police officers?
It probably goes to police chiefs. Yeah.
All right, fine. Well, let's. You were talking
but
a little bit.
If anyone wants to read any of the stuff that I write at the conservativevoice.com, newswithviews.com. In fact, I have a website they can go to that has a list of all the publications that I write for.
Okay, very good. Now, are the publications actually up on your website, or do they have to go to the other publications?
Yeah, there's links. There are links on my website to the publications.
However, now you were talking about the terrorist training camps down around in Bolivia, elsewhere. Are these Al Qaeda training camps? What are they?
Al Qaeda, Hezbollah. In fact, one of the surprising things that the Defense Department mentioned in some of their testimony is the fact that Hezbollah, their largest headquarters in the world, is located in Toronto, Canada, which I never knew. And I looked into it. I called a few people up in Canada who work for the CSIS, that's Canadian Security Intelligence Service, and they confirmed it. They have a large number of people who are affiliated with Hezbollah, Hamas, and other terrorists, Middle Eastern terrorist groups. So they are training people in South America. They are converting people to Islam in South America. These people are on their way to the United States. They're not staying in South America. They're coming up north into the country.
And so why, then, don't we try to stop them? Why do we have an open border? Why do we have a catch-and-release program? Why are we doing everything to make ourselves susceptible, to this sort of terrorist attack? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it boils down to cheap labor to bring these people into the country, first of all, to actually tear down the unions in the United States, to provide cheap labor for companies, corporations. And if you look at the statistics for the number of people who are arrested for employing illegal aliens, it is negligible. You're talking about maybe 400. I know that last week or the week before, the head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, had a press conference, and he talked about the arrest of a restaurant chain owner down in the Iowa area, or up in the Iowa area, it really got me angry, because we know that large corporations who contribute to these political parties, that they knowingly hire illegal immigrants. For example, during the rallies that we saw earlier this year, Tyson Foods in Arkansas gave their employees the day off because they knew a lot of them were going to go to a rally. They practically admitted that they hire illegal immigrants, yet you don't see anyone frog walking out of Tyson Foods.
Well, of course, I'm sure they give a lot of very good campaign contributions. We know there were very large contributors to the Clinton campaign, and I suspect they are to the Republicans as well. After all, you don't want to be prejudiced. You want to finance both sides.
Sure. And, it isn't that the GOP is standing up for the American people and trying to stop the flow. It's easy to blame the Democrats, because all they had to do was sit back and watch the GOP fight amongst themselves about what to do at the border. Anyone who's talked about tough border security, look at Congressman Tancredo. He has been ostracized by the GOP. They were actually hoping that he'd lose his election. Same thing with J.D. Hayworth, who did lose in Arizona. He's written books on the subject of illegal immigration. He lost his election because he didn't get any backing from the GOP. They were hoping that he would go away, because the GOP wants an open border policy. They want a so-called guest worker program. They want to legalize the people who are in the country illegally. In other words, reward lawbreakers. They want to give them incentives. If you look at states across the country, they're given tuition incentives to go to college. They pay less for college than American students do. They want them to partake of the Social Security program and other programs that citizens are involved in. They basically want to do away with citizenship. That's what it comes down to. Where at one time citizenship meant something.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Tim Curry, and if you're out there in the listening audience, why give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's, I should say, 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791 right here at Genesis. And we're talking about the fact that the Republican leadership really wants to make illegal immigrants legal. They want amnesty for them. In fact, the Republican candidates who opposed amnesty really did not get any help from the Republican National Committee, and that's why some of them lost their positions. But the trouble is that the Democrats, well, many of them, want to give amnesty as well.
Oh, sure.
The leadership of both political parties are dedicated not to the preservation of this country, but to this globalist dream of the new world order, this one world government, and that is treason. But of course nobody really wants to talk about that. After all, are we fighting for freedom overseas? And I'd like to suggest that our boys are fighting and dying overseas, but we're being invaded here in the United States this very day.
Well, if you look at okay, let's just look at the Border Patrol. The U.S. Border Patrol, by the time they do, conduct all the hiring and training, they expect it to be about 18,000 by the year 2007. So that may sound like a large number, but when you compare it to a city like New York, a city, and I worked in New York, a city that has between 42,000 and 45,000 police officers, you get the idea that we don't have that many Border Patrol agents. If a city like New York, which has a population of about 8 million people, has that large of a police force, why don't we have that large of a force at our borders to enforce the border security program? Also, whenever Border Patrol agents do, and they'll tell you off the record because they don't want to get in trouble with their bosses, but they'll tell you off the record, this recent prosecution of two Border Patrol agents was the government, the U.S. government, sending a signal to them to be a little bit more lax in their enforcement. That's what this was all about. They prosecuted these two guys who were doing their job. From a law enforcement point of view, I don't see how they violated the resistance force continuum that law enforcement is trained in. And they ended up having to go to prison. These are two Border Patrol agents who were doing their job, protecting the American people, protecting our border, protecting our sovereignty. So to me, this was a message being sent to Border Patrol agents, that if they are zealous in what they're doing at the border, they are liable to be prosecuted for it.
And, of course, basically, there was a drug smuggler. He was running away. They thought he had a gun. They shot him in the buttocks. Obviously, didn't do much harm for him. The man who was a smuggler, you know, coming into our country illegally with large amounts of I don't know, was it marijuana or methamphetamine, do you recall?
I think it was methamphetamine.
You know, and he was given immunity as long as he testified against these Border Patrol officers who were just doing their job. I mean, this is the most incredible story.
Well, the idea was to, Dr. Stan, the idea was to demoralize the Border Patrol. The idea was to send them a message that they do not want overzealous Border Patrol agents or Border Patrol agents that are going to be doing their job at our southern and northern border. Also, as I mentioned before, you know, the number of Border Patrol agents, when they attempted to, for example, train and deputize local law enforcement officers to enforce immigration laws. I'm talking about people already in the country illegally. Do you know how many officers went to the academy from across the country? 100 officers were sent, mostly from small towns that decided they had had enough of illegal immigrants coming into their communities and perpetrating crimes that they had never experienced before. So they sent the 100 police officers for a program that was designed to train thousands of police officers. So that shows that there is no concerted effort on the part of our government. You'll hear governors, for example, Bill Richardson in New Mexico with his phony state of emergency, and he puts 54 National Guard troops on the border. 54, we put more than that up for a snowstorm in New Jersey.
And well, you know, it's so tragic, and you wonder, are the American people really this gullible? Don't they understand it's all showbiz, it's all symbolism over substance, it's all simply to convince them they're doing something when they really aren't?
Well, I think the American people are finding out the truth. I think shows like yours and other talk show hosts, some alternative media organizations and the internet I think that they're starting to realize that there really isn't too much difference, especially on this issue, between the two political parties. And I know that the editors from the New York Times will disagree with me, but I believe that the immigration issue was one of the issues, or the issue, that cost the GOP control of the House and the Senate. I think that if they had put together a comprehensive program, and I'm talking about a tough border security program, coupled with the deportation of many of these illegal aliens here in the country, instead of saying it's impossible to do, which is nonsense, it is possible. It doesn't have to be done overnight. But if they had put together a program like that, I believe that the GOP would have been victorious on November 7th. because they would have shown the American people that they're actually doing something to preserve our sovereignty, to cut down on crime, the number of people who are committing crimes in the United States who have no business in the country in the first place. I think that the American people are starting to get wise, and it's going to be very interesting as we approach 2008 how this issue will again be a top issue.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I share your concern. Now, there was a wonderful article that you had actually published, and it was the recommendations by the members of the Border Patrol. I guess they were probably primarily retired, but maybe they put it out through the union. But, you know, they said they thought that we're not doing a very good job, and it wasn't because they didn't want to do a good job, but because all of the barriers that were put in their way. Many of the Border Patrol agents getting rather demoralized, realizing that a lot of what they're doing is simply, you know, playing games, whereas they no sooner get these people arrested than if they're Mexicans, they take them back across the border. If they're from other countries, other than El Salvador, why they simply, give them a deportation hearing and then they never come back for it. They release them into the community. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. The catch and release program is the most incredible thing. Could you imagine doing that with any other crime in America?
Oh, I liken it to someone who has committed a homicide and you let them out on bail and you expect them to come back. They're not going to come back. Actually, the ones that are captured, and this is Disco, I believe it's the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, had a report that said the average illegal immigrant in the United States has re-entered the country illegally 3 times. That's an average. Some have entered more times. They've been deported and they come right back. Many of them, they are deported after being released from prison, and they come right back.
Are you there, Jim?
Yes.
Okay, Tim, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you're out there in the listening audience and you think that what we're talking about just doesn't make sense, or you're upset about it, and you can tell from the intensity in Tim's voice that he's upset about this, I think we should all be upset about this. This is designed to destroy our nation. It is designed to create a multicultural, multilingual society with people that they can play against one another. And you see that this has happened in Canada as they play the English-speaking against the French-speaking people. They do this, of course, in various sections of Europe, where they can divide the people. So why is it that our leaders are so intent upon this? Is it simply because of the desire for cheap labor? And I don't think so. I think that Tim is absolutely right. This is part of a globalist agenda because there are people who do not believe in America. They don't believe in this country that we're any different. They want to break down our sovereignty. They want to merge us with Mexico and Canada. And as Michael Moriarty had told you, I think that's exactly what's going on today. But, you know, is Michael getting this information out up in Canada? Did you know?
Oh, sure. He follows American politics closely and what's going on in the United States, because a lot of it's going on in Canada. And I think there are a number of Canadians that are very concerned with their lax immigration policy. If you think our immigration policy is ridiculous, theirs is a joke. They allow people without any, they actually allow them in with no documentation whatsoever. In other words, here they have to sneak in, there they just let them in. So, you can see that they are in the same boat we are in this country, and a lot of people in Canada, conservatives, are realizing that there's an agenda at play between Canada and the United States to actually erase the border between us and create this whatever you want to call it, this North American Union, I've heard it called, and I've heard it called the Federalist Union. It's basically trying to unify the entire continent of North America.
Do you think that the average police chief understands this? Because it's so vitally important that the police chiefs of America do understand this agenda. There is an agenda. It is the only logical explanation. Are they getting educated on these subjects?
Well, we're trying to educate them. You know, many of them are part of the problem, not the solution, because they buy into the politics that that exist in the United States. You have to remember, police chiefs are not autonomous. They have to report to politicians, and if they want to keep their jobs and their pensions, they have to toe the line. That's one of the problems that we have with police chiefs. Who may understand what's going on, but feel powerless to do anything about it. In fact, and again, I'm not plugging Michael Moriarty, his movies or anything, but he had written an open letter to police chiefs, and it was a really interesting take on what's going on, not only with immigration, the overall one world government, that situation that appears to be the agenda of many political leaders in the United States, in Canada, in Mexico, and in Europe. In fact, one interesting thing that he pointed out, which I wasn't aware of, and I did some research, and sure enough, it's happening. The United Nations has proposals to tax Americans. In other words, we will pay an international tax, and the money is to be used for problem areas such as AIDS in Africa and other humanitarian causes. And listen, we're all humanitarians. We want to help people, but taxing Americans, this is a plan that's being proposed in the United Nations. And again, you're not hearing about this in the New York Times. I think American people would be outraged. Who are they? Who are they to tax us?
Well, I think that people really have to understand that this is a long-range plan. It is at the very basis of American foreign and domestic policy, and it is really a matter of betrayal of our constitutional concepts and the destruction of our sovereignty. But there really are people who, as we've heard me say many times before, who have a different outlook in the world, and they simply, because I believe they worship a different God, and they, as a result, they have a different agenda. And this is an age-old agenda. This is nothing new. It's been around for many, many thousands of years, this idea of uniting the world. Well, you know, certainly, you know, I think it's great that you're there, that you're trying to get the information out. And I realize that the police chiefs are subject to political pressures. That's the nice thing about what I do. Now, are you completely retired from the police force at the present time?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I do a lot of security consulting. For corporate, especially after September 11th, and I do a lot of writing, and I've worked on a couple of political campaigns for real conservatives who unfortunately just don't have the means that the big political parties have, like the Constitution Party. There's another party, the Realist Party. These are parties of real conservatives who are really concerned about America and not concerned about garnering as much power as they can. Hello?
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's great that you're out there. No, I hit the wrong button there for a moment. I think what you're doing, of course, is having an opportunity to reach people within the police forces across America. It's so important that at least those police chiefs who will listen, you know, have the opportunity to hear this story and to understand that there really are people who have an entirely different worldview. They don't look at the world the way we do, and they do not cherish the freedom that we've enjoyed as many of us do. Well, you got about 2 minutes to wrap up the program. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners, and you want to get your website out again?
Sure. Well, my website is Jim Corey, Jim, J-I-M-K-O-U-R-I, .us, jimcorey.us. And a lot of the publications I write for, other people, some of the best conservative minds write for these on subjects that we've been talking about tonight. Alan Karuba, a number of them, who are real conservatives. You know, let's be honest. The guys that call themselves conservatives in Washington are not really conservative if they will not take any action at our U.S. border.
Well, I agree with you, and because what we need to do is we need to build a wall. We need to stop this foolish catch and release situation, and we need to start going after the employers who are hiring people who are here in this country illegally, because if we don't, I can only see more and more violence coming down the line, especially if our economy contracts, there are not adequate jobs. What are the people who are here illegally going to do? Well, I think they're going to join MS-13 and other gangs, and I think that we could see the situation really get out of hand. Can you see that situation developing?
Oh, sure. You know, when you have a booming economy, it's easy to hide some of those problems that you experience with the illegal immigration problem. But if the economy slows down and goes into recession and jobs are scarce, I think that's when the American people start waking up and realizing that they are competing with people who will work for peanuts, and they'll be out of jobs.
We're out of time. Thanks very much, Jim. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
American Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Good morning, honey. Wow, the weather is beautiful, the cabin is terrific, and it's the first day of our vacation.
Yeah.
Honey, is there something wrong?
Yeah, I just realized we forgot to pack the travel Berkey system. I can't drink this cabin water. And what am I going to do when I'm out on the lake? Now the whole vacation is ruined.
Honey, cheer up. I brought our Sport Berkey purifiers.
What?
Yeah, I know you're picky about not having pathogenic bacteria, organic chemicals, heavy metals or foul tastes and odors in the water. So I packed our Sport Berkey purifiers.
You know, this is a terrific cabin. And wow, have you noticed the beautiful weather?
Don't ruin your vacation. Get a travel Berkey today for only $209, or get a Sport Berkey for only $39. Call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Travel Berkey not available in Iowa.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You do that by just calling us at 1-800-544-8927. For a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, and you'll either get tapes or CDs and our monthly newsletter. And then, of course, you'll be helping us as we reach out across America on 60 different outlets every week. But believe me, it's an expensive proposition. We always hope that at the end of the month there's going to be enough money to pay the bills. Now, we've been talking about immigration. We've got a great four tape set on the North American community, the demise of national sovereignty. That's the North American community and the demise of national sovereignty. And, of course, it goes into the things we've been talking about today. There is a plan that most people are totally unaware of to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, to raise the living standards of our people to that of the Mexican peasant. And we'll have a ruling elite, a very, very powerful group, and then the middle class will be destroyed and impoverished, and then everybody will be else will be poor, and you'll go along because we will be living in a police state. And if you don't think that's what's planned, well, you've never read, of course, the John Warner Act that was passed just last month, or the Military Commission Act. All of this supposedly aimed at fighting terrorism, and yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're funding terrorism. We've always funded terrorism throughout the world, and if you doubt that, you need to get the book, The Devil's Game, written by Robert Dreyfus, and it goes into the background of this organized effort by, on the part of our intelligence agencies, to finance the radical Islamo-fascist organization. So you need to get this four-tape set, The North American Community, The Demise of National Sovereignty, our four-tape set on immigration, the books we carry, The Minutemen by Jerome Corsi and Jim Gilchrist, Fighting Immigration Anarchy, and then, of course, we have, you know, a DVD entitled The Conquest of Aslan, put out by our good friend Glenn Spencer. Get the information, understand how to articulate it, and then start telling people the war is not in the Middle East. The war is here in America today. And until people understand we're being invaded, there are people in Washington, D.C. who are betraying their oath of office to protect us from enemies, both foreign and domestic, because they themselves are the domestic enemies of our Constitution. But nobody has the courage to say it. Well, anyway, the information is all there. You need to get that information. You need to understand that so much of this is being funded by the Ford Foundation. If you haven't read the book, we've kept in print for many years. Foundations, their power and influence. We carry it. Now, the Ford Foundation's funding so much of what's going on today, whether it be the liberal left or the radical left or the communist left, the Ford Foundation, you can always depend upon them to be there. The anti-Semites, you know, the anti-Semitic movement, of course, that was Henry Ford's little favorite thing. He was actually used his newspaper to circulate the protocols, the Elders of Zion, and he was very, very close to Adolf Hitler. But then don't feel bad. He didn't discriminate. He also was very close to the communists. He built the Ford Motor Plant at Gorky, which is, to my knowledge, still operating today, producing Ford vehicles for the poor, impoverished people of Russia. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that we've been betrayed by our leaders. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, Dr. Sutton's book, Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street, and the Bolshevik Revolution, understand that both the Nazis and the communists were funded by people right here in the United States. And today, with this Islamic terrorist movement, once again, we're funding the best terrorist movement that money could buy, the best enemy money could buy. We have an interview by that titled, The Best Enemy Money Could Buy. You need to see it. It's my interview with Dr. Sutton before he passed away. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time.
But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, our guest right now is Mr. Tim Smith, and we're going to be talking about torture and some of the other things that are going on throughout the world today. And, Mr. Smith, how are you today?
Well, doing well, Dr. Stan. Appreciate your time.
Why don't you just give us a little of the background of yourself and how you got interested in the subject we're going to be talking about.
Well, I'm a video producer, and we have a television show out here called Need to Know in Arkansas. And we just kind of tackle issues that are of local importance as well as national and international issues. And my background beyond that is got involved with Henry Lamb's Freedom 21 and shot video several years ago with that, and started to really get a hold of the big picture and see how all these different pieces started to fit together. And so most recently, when I heard about this Military Commissions Act, it got me real excited when I started to see what was hidden underneath the words.
All right, fine. Well, first, we've been on, had Henry on many, many times. You were at one of the meetings they had there in Reno, Nevada?
Yes, I taped the 2004 gathering, but I'd been out in Nashville the first gathering I was at.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's so important that that the information gets out, and video is such an excellent means of getting the truth to the American people about what's really going on. So how do you begin to put this all together, and what are your thoughts on what is actually transpiring?
Well, as you say, the beauty of video, the advancement in the last couple of years has been to the DVD format, and it's so much easier to send those puppies out than the entire videotape, and they're much easier to set up where you can index and search through things very quickly. So as I went to Henry's conference there and all the good people there, I realized how can you possibly remember all this information, and so that video is just a wonderful way to be able to go back and also pass that information along. So specifically with the torture, what really strikes me is how we are losing what it means to be human. We are losing the idea of what it means to be an American and what it means to be human. And can we treat others differently than we want ourselves to be treated? And I think the answer is no. And so unfortunately what's being, I think, painted is this picture of us versus them, and they're the big evil, we're the nice guys. And then you start to look into some of the issues surrounding these secret CIA camps and Guantanamo Bay, and you start to see this is not a pretty picture. This is not good people trying to get useful information. This is people that are doing anything they can to try to further their themselves.
And I certainly share your concern. And what really bothers me so much is that there is not more of an outcry from the average Americans. Oh, those terrible Islamic people, they cut off people's heads. And that's why we have anybody Muslim we get, we have a perfect right to torture them. After all, we have to get whatever secrets they may have. But what happens if they don't have any secrets? And how low will we descend on the moral, as far as moral equivalence, you know, in the name of, well, we've got to win. Yes, we have to win, but if we win and we lose our morality, we lose the very character of America in the process, then what will we have when this is all over? Tim, we've got sort of a sound in the background. Could I get you to hang up, and I'm going to have my producer call you right back. Could you do that for us?
Sure.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Tim as we begin exploring this whole concept of these stories of torture. And when the president says, I do not approve of torture, we do not approve of torture, and then, well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Tim Smith, who's an independent film producer, and he's worked with Henry Lamb and other people that we have worked with, and we wanted to talk to him today about this concept of torture. And nobody really likes to talk about that. In fact, it has never been accepted that this would be acceptable procedure for the American forces to use. If you read the stories of what happened at Abu Ghraib prison, you find out that ordinarily there were people from the CIA, from the intelligence agencies, that were ordering our enlisted men to go ahead and torture and degrade the prisoners there. And unfortunately, what most people do not understand is the war in Vietnam and the war in Iraq are primarily CIA operations, and they're always working behind the scenes. And these are people who have a different set of values. Many of them do. Some of them, I'm sure, are good, loyal people and good family men, but there are many of them have a very pragmatic approach to what goes on today, and are not bound by the same moral perspectives and beliefs that I think most Americans hold. And they believe anything is justified. If you've got to torture people or kill people, that's perfectly all right. If you haven't read about the Phoenix Project that was carried out, that's the Phoenix, Phoenix project that was carried out by the CIA in Vietnam, where between 20 and 40,000 civilians were murdered. You can read about it up on the Internet. And you say, well, that's anti-American. No, it's not. We need to know this wasn't primarily our soldiers that were doing it. It was the Central Intelligence Agencies that where people marched to a different drumbeat because they had a different set of values. Well, our guest today is Tim Smith. Tim, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, that's an ever so much better connection. So tell us your thoughts on what's going on and what should be done about it, and where is the outcry from our Christian leaders who should be saying this is wrong. But we don't hear much about that, it seems.
For me, that's the most important point right there, is the biblical Christian background that we have come from as a nation and how we have bounced away from that. And now we are to this, as you say, ends justify as a means concept. I have to point to the Alex Jones show and your show and other shows, Derry Brownfield, different ones that are talking about this. And there are a lot of folks waking up as a result of the word getting out of there. The one point that I came across was an article by Joseph Margolis, The More Subtle Kind of Torment, and he references back to the Korean conflict.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Tim Smith, and we're talking about this idea of torture and how we have come to embrace the same sort of horrible things that the Nazis did and the communists did, and we take it now, it's perfectly acceptable as long as it's going to get that information we need to protect Americans. But are we really getting valid information? Or when the people are screaming in pain, are they going to tell us anything they want to? And if they're really dedicated members of Al-Qaeda, do you really think they're going to give up their friends? Or, of course, what they're really going to do is give us false information to mislead us. So go ahead, pick up the story there, Tim.
You bet. I bet you would probably recall the Korean War, Dr. Stan. What had happened was there was a group of American POWs that had been captured, and in their interrogation, it turned into various forms of torture. Some of them were brutally tortured. Others had this psychological torture. And as a result of that psychological torture, Colonel Frank Schwabel was the highest-ranking Marine captured in the conflict, and he said, "I want to emphasize that I did not undergo physical torture. Perhaps I would have been more fortunate if I had, because people nowadays seem to understand that better. Mine was a more subtle kind of torment." And anyway, they described sitting at attention for 30 hours, standing erect at attention, total isolation, no contact, food thrown at you, made to defecate in public. All these things were thrown at these guys for a couple of years, and then what happened is a story came out of these, I think it was 39 men, that the Americans were planning a bacteriological bomb over on some of the cities there to try to decimate the populations. And these were all lies. There was no truth to this whatsoever. But the American people were horrified and shocked. You know, how could our men give in so easily, they thought. But as a result of that experience, the CIA started studying this. And they started doing tests and using psychologists to try to determine what is the best type of coercion we can use. And out of that came a Kubark, K-U-B-A-R-K. You can look that up on the Internet. The CIA document came out in 63, and it was finally discovered and put out in, I guess, it was 97. But that talks about how to use coercive interrogation. And the bottom line is, what does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to be a person that deserves respect? And we have lost that. And my concern is, as a Christian who believes the Bible for what it is and what it says it is, when we go along these paths, what we are doing is we are going against what the Bible teaches. And the Bible says, if you walk in my ways, and if you honor me, I will honor you, and I will make your enemies come and bow before you. And this is what we have lost. We are saying whatever we have to do to get the information to protect us. And as you commented a minute ago, does good information come from torture? And the answer is no.
And the thing is, they know that, and yet they're doing it anyway, almost as if they enjoy humiliating and destroying the very soul of the people. And you talk to people, and you read about the descriptions of people who have been tortured, and you say, how could my government have done that? And it's not my government. It's a certain wicked people who are working within our government who do not hold our values but march to a drumbeat and dream a different dream. That's the trouble.
But couldn't this easily follow the same course as the Nazis you were referring to earlier? When you look at the rise of Nazism there in the early 30s, people were warned. They knew Hitler had his Mein Kampf out in 27, and people started hearing about this and reading. And so by the time the early 30s came along and they started selectively discriminating against the Jews, it was, it's no big deal, because I wanted that watch store anyway. You know, it would be nice to have these Jews out of the way. I can take over his business. But by the time 1939 came along and they started moving them out to the concentration camps, it was too late. So that slow tide moved to a rapid rush, and it was too late to stop it because you hadn't paid attention early on.
Well, one of the most interesting books, and devastating books in many respects, that we carry is written by a minister, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who is the senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago. And the book is called Hitler's Cross, and it's the story of what the ministers did in Hitler's Germany. Mm. And 90% of them went right along with Adolf Hitler, no matter how brutal and horrible he was and how he persecuted the ministers who spoke out against them. 90% of the Protestant ministers and many of the Catholic priests went along with Adolf Hitler. Although there was more resistance in the Catholic Church than there was in the Protestant Church, because they were getting money from Adolf Hitler. Just as many of our major ministries are getting millions of dollars from the government today. And do you think that plays any part in the fact that our major ministries will not speak out against inhuman torture and sleep deprivation and of course, this idea of partial drowning, to give these people the feeling they're drowning? And even Cheney made a joke about that the other day. Well, what's just dipping the people in the water a little bit? I mean, it's callous disregard for human suffering and screams.
And I think what we have to bring up is the comment that Professor Frank Niles made on our program He's a philosophy professor at John Brown University here in Arkansas, and he said moral obligations should never be sacrificed on the altar of political, social, or economic expediency. So what is the underlying moral belief? And obviously it's leaving, or it's gone, for most of these people. And I think we as Americans have to wake up. And I also wonder if the Lord didn't kind of wake us up here with this last election and say, look, you've been putting your faith in leaders, and that's just not going to work, because these leaders will do what they want to do no matter what they happen to claim one day, because they'll claim something else another day.
Well, I think so. I think America's in real trouble because it's lost its moral compass. And, of course, the society represents or reflects the church. And if society's reflecting the church, then there's something terribly wrong in the Christian church today.
Yes, yes. The passage, or one of the passages that struck me, in Exodus, the 23rd chapter, the Lord said, look, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention, listen to what he says, do not rebel, and I will forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. Now, if you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. And you go on through, you know, this is Exodus, so we're just early on. You go on through, and you see time and time again that the Lord says, look, you do right, you honor me, and I will honor you. King David, he was praying in Psalm 5, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my sign, listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for unto you I pray. And he said, you are a God who does not take pleasure in evil. With you wickedness cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You destroy those who tell lies, but I, by your great mercy, will continue in reverence to you. I will bow down towards your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make a straight way before me. So what the Lord strikes me in the New Testament, he said, you know, you have heard, be rough on your enemies, love those who love you, but, you know, persecute your enemies. No, I say the opposite. I say pray for those who, you know, use you.
Well, of course, so, you know, at one time where our military, which we really depend upon for preservation of our freedom, our military was a very deeply religious organization. But step by step, they've taken God out of the Virginia Military Academy. They can't have any prayers at the Virginia Military Academy. They've taken a prayer, you know, out of any of the things, or at least a prayer that mentions Jesus Christ, out of the Air Force Academy. And they've taken it out at West Point, the only military academy that really is holding up at all is Annapolis, that refuses to give in.
Okay.
But, you know, increasingly, chaplains in the military are being told they can't pray in the name of Jesus. It's all right to pray, but just don't mention the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to wonder why the administration, our Christian administration, doesn't intervene and stop this falderall. They could do it by an executive order. But they don't seem to feel that praying in the name of Jesus is really that important. In fact, they tell us that we all pray to the same God. The Muslims pray to the same God as the Christians. And I just wonder what copy of the Quran they've been reading.
This is so true. It really bothers me how the political landscape so reflects the public idea that you can basically say anything to anybody you want. And it doesn't matter because you can say something else tomorrow. And yeah, as if nobody's keeping track of what you're saying today, so you can just make it up as you go along. And so if I tell you I'm a Christian today and I believe in the Bible, then tomorrow I say, well, no, all roads lead to heaven, and we need to get along with everybody. And those two are incompatible. But as you say, we as Americans, you know, when I saw our president say that on television with his wife sitting right next to him, I could not believe when the Christian organizations continue to support him and encourage him, when I think it was before the 2004 election that he made that statement. And there it was, CNN or wherever it was. Well, you know, the ends justify the means. We'll just let him slip by on this, and you know, he'll cover us on other things. I just don't see that being the Lord's way. We need to stand for righteousness and truth. And again, this is not a Bible-thumping opportunity. This is just simply saying, look, if you want direction in your life, if you want meaning in your life, you have to have a foundation. And if you don't have a foundation to build from, you're going to be all over the place. And you're, you know, who knows what you're going to believe tomorrow. And if you don't believe something solid, you're going to, you know, tomorrow, torture's no big deal. Yes, Steve?
Well, because one of the things that really disturbs me is the president insists that we will not approve of torture, and yet he passed and signed the Military Commission Act, which in effect does away with the protections of the Geneva Convention for anybody, of course, that is captured or accused of being a military, a combatant, an enemy combatant. In fact, the Military Commission can come into this country and point to anybody and say, you're being critical of the government. You are an enemy combatant. You're helping the enemy. They've broadened the definition of course, the enemy. The enemy is anybody who criticizes what our government is doing. So how can the president say he's against torture and yet effectively repeal the Geneva Convention and then say, and furthermore, no court may intervene in any of our decisions? Well, Tim, you go ahead and pick this story up there.
What I think people need to do is they need to get a hold of the Military Commissions Act and take a look at that and read through it. And admittedly, you have to take your time because it's like 94, 97 pages long. But things will start to jump out at you, and you will ask questions if you're at all perceptive. You know, what does this mean? Can we use torture, or is it just the word coercion different than torture? And what does it mean to torture somebody? You know, is sleep deprivation torture? And so I guess it goes back to that biblical understanding of, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And do we get valuable information as a result of using torture? And the answer is no. And so why don't we just shelve this idea, because it's proven out over time not to be effective.
Well, of course, what we see a man like Alan Dershowitz, who's a professor back at Harvard University, and I have one of the essays he wrote, saying, well, you know, really, of course, if we just pull out people's fingernails, now that's not going to do any permanent damage. We'll just pull out their fingernails and toenails, and this is a means of getting them to talk. After all, we've got to get, you know, we've got to defeat the enemy, and the enemy is the Islamic terrorists, and well, of course, we won't know whether they're Islamic terrorists until we've tortured them, and then they'll admit to anything, and then we'll, of course, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But the fact that a professor at a major university in America, who is still lauded and applauded by the left, Alan Dershowitz, would advocate pulling out people's fingernails and toenails, how many people out there in the listening audience would feel that this man is deserving of any recognition other than condemnation? And I would put him in the same category as Goebbels and Goering and Adolf Hitler himself. Oh, he said, we're not going to kill them. We're just going to pull out their fingernails and toenails. And where was the outcry from the good people here in America? And there wasn't any.
Well, I think Britney Spears is getting a divorce. So, you know, how can you think of anything else when that's occurring?
I know. Well, of course, our telephone number, of course, is 1-800-259-5791. Well, Tim, what is the solution to this whole thing? How extensive is the use of torture? Do we have any idea at all? I mean, how much and how often this has been used?
Well, again, I think it's an exciting time to live because I think the Lord has been lifting the veil a little bit and revealing things. The CIA torture camp over there in, I think it was Eastern Europe, was vetted by a, I think it was a German group that had discovered it, and so, you know, they picked it up and they moved it someplace else. But we're getting information out here that is, I think those people that want to hear are able to hear. Those people who want to know what the truth is, they're able to find the truth. And so I think it's deeper. I think it goes much deeper than we are willing to admit. And that's, you know, to me, a great concern. But at the same time, it's hopeful because we are getting information out. And I think this election shows that people are, you know, are wanting a change, that they're not wanting to go along and continue to do what's being done. Because you look at the whole Iraqi war, and did that not come out of information from a gentleman that was, quote-unquote, coerced? And he said Saddam, and turns out Saddam didn't. It seems that was the series of events, and then Colin Powell said, well, no, that wasn't really good information. And but meanwhile, we're already committed to war, and we're there. So I think it's more of a...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Tim Smith. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Tim Smith, who's an independent video producer, television producer, and we're just talking about this whole idea of torture. You know, if we'd like to really live in peace with the Muslims, and we're going to have to live, we can't kill 1.25 billion Muslims. If we're going to live with people throughout the world, we have to have their respect. And you don't get it by being cruel and inhumane. I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to be nice and you can't stand up to protect yourself, but the Muslims, the average Muslim, is not attacking the United States. People talk very much about what happened on September 11th, but, you know, the president has blocked any effort for an independent evaluation. He tried to block the Joint Intelligence Committee, and then, of course, when they have their hearings, he made sure that both co-chairmen just happened to come from the Council on Foreign Relations. He tried to block the the 911 commission, and of course when he was forced to have it, he wanted to put Henry Kissinger in charge, and when that didn't fly, why, he took people, well, Tom Keene, Lee Hamilton, Jamie Gorelick, Bob Kerry, and John Lehman, all from the Council on Foreign Relations, and the man, of course, who was going to investigate the Bush administration was Philip Zelikow, who is a close personal friend of Condoleezza Rice. Do you think that they're really going to tell us the truth? I've talked to so many people who gave testimony, but it was all in secret, and that testimony for the 911 Commission was sealed for 30 years so the American people would never know what happened that day. We have built an entire war where perhaps as many as 600,000 Iraqis have died, and perhaps unjustifiably. Certainly Iraq was not attacking us. They were not involved in the terrorist attacks. So why did we attack Iraq? Well, it was a mistake. We'll tell that to the families of the 2,800 American boys who are dead now, and the families of the boys who have come back and been crippled for life and lost arms and legs, and it was all a mistake. And is it 100,000 or 600,000 Iraqis have died? Can you really justify this in making a mistake? Somebody is responsible, and who's been held responsible? I think the vote yesterday, on Tuesday, was a vote against the Bush administration, but it certainly wasn't a vote in favor of the Democrats. This is the problem. Because the leaders of both political parties are going exactly the same way. Both political parties want big government. Both political parties want globalism. And both political parties are going to continue the war in Iraq. We're not going to pull out of Iraq. In fact, we probably are going to expand that war into Iran in the very, very near future. And it's going to happen because the good people will not take the time to do the investigation to find out what really happened on 9/11. And we'll talk a little later about where you can get some excellent videos that will tell you exactly what happened on 9/11 and why the President of the United States did not want any investigation to find out what really happened that day. But even more than that, the way we're treating our prisoners, you know, Abu Ghraib and what's gone on at Guantanamo has antagonized and inflamed the entire Islamic world, and we have far more people who would become suicide bombers today than ever existed before. And I put this in large part on the part of the American people who refuse to speak out against abhorrent behavior, not on the part of Islam, because I think that some terrible things have happened, and the terror bombings over in Israel cannot be justified. But I put part of this on the part of the American people who refuse to speak out against our people when we do something wrong. Go ahead, Tim.
I think what we have to come back to as a nation that was founded on Christian principles is, who do we trust in? And Psalm 18, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And when you realize this is what our country was based on, this is what our country was built on. Verse 6, it says, in my distress I called to the Lord. I cried out to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came before him into his ears. God has and has provided for us, but as we have turned away from him and we have shook our fists in his face, he's going to have to turn away from us because he cannot stand in the presence of sin and in the presence of people rejecting him. And so I think that people have turned away from him because they don't want to have their own lives challenged. And so then they want a human answer, a human fix. And I think this is why the final world leader that is, I think, probably right on the edge of the scene is going to be so powerful, because people will find him very attractive. He will be able to bring peace. He will be able to settle things down. And people are just going to go, oh, wow, this is the man. And we can trust in a man instead of God. And we as a nation can't do that because God was our founding. And as we turn away from him, I think, you know, these things are an inevitable result.
And I think things are going to get a lot worse. I think there's going to be terrible retribution in America. Not for what our people have done, but for what they haven't done. Because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Tim Smith, and of course I agree with you, Tim. I believe we're involved in a spiritual battle, but it's being played on a military, on a political and ideological, on a cultural battlefield, and most people don't understand it's a spiritual battle because nobody's telling them that.
Yes, I think it's so true. And again, when you look at the bigger picture and you see how this is playing out across our society, you can see that the changes at our community level reflect what's going on. And this idea that we need to be a community of people. Everybody get together, everybody get along, you know, get rid of private property rights, get rid of individual accountability, and just becomes community accountability. You end up with a situation like this where nobody's accountable. And isn't that what Marx did? He said, you know, you bring the workers together with the owners, and then everybody gets along and everything will work out just fine. Well, it didn't work out just fine, because there is sin in the world. And the scripture says, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, you know, then I'll hear, then I'll answer. And I think the answer to your question earlier is, what should we be doing? I think we as Christians, serious Christians, have to join with other Christians that are serious and are seeking the Lord's face, and, you know, praying for a change, but also getting together and meeting with other people and strengthening our understandings of what's going on, and particularly breaking our children free of this groupthink, this communitarian type of think that says, you know, just do whatever's best for you know, us as a community, instead of do what's best for you know, in the Lord's sight. So I think it's a double-pronged thing. We've got to get together and pray, and we also got to get together and realize we're not alone, that we can stand up and we can make a difference as a group.
Well, I certainly think that Christians are going to be held accountable not only for what they've done, but what they haven't done as things get much worse. And I believe that we are on the verge of some terrible, terrible times here in America, and nobody likes to talk about it. Certainly we don't hear about it from our Christian leaders, but history tells us that whatever a nation turns against God, God eventually withdraws his protection from that nation. And there's so many Christians who believe that they're going to be raptured before anything bad ever happens to them. And I would simply say, well, what happens if the rapture comes 30 years after America has fallen and a hundred million Americans have been slaughtered? What are you going to say, and what's going to happen to the faith of the American people? And it's going to be like the faith of the German people, who were told exactly the same thing over 50 years ago. And of course, the German churches are empty today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Tim Smith. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And we'd sort of like to know what you out there in the listening audience think of this subject of torture. Are we justified in torturing people that may be Muslim terrorists because they might have some information? If we get information, can we believe what they tell us? And, of course, how would God feel about the way we treat our enemies. Is this the Christian approach? And it was some recently we were talking about Christ. You know, they could have killed Christ, and they didn't kill Christ. They tortured him. They beat him. They flogged him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And what was his response? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And let's take this right forward of what the CIA, in our name, with our tax money, is doing throughout the world today, and what they're doing in those prisons in Eastern Europe, and what they did at Abu Ghraib. And of course, it's said by many people in Iraq today that now that, you know, that we brought the Shias to power, you know, and they control many of the prisons over there, Saddam's former prisons, there's far more torture there today under the American occupation being carried out by the Shias than there ever was under Saddam Hussein. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, because I think Saddam was a pretty ruthless and cruel guy, but everybody's forgotten. He was financed by the American government all during the 1980s, and if any of you doubt that, we'll get you the documentation on it. And so articles were written a long time ago. In fact, we have books that were written back in the 70s, talked about how when Saddam Hussein worked for the CIA. If you haven't read the book, of course, it's entitled See No Evil by Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent operating in Iraq in the 1990s. And he will tell you he never met an Iraqi who did not believe that the American government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. Let me repeat that. He never met an Iraqi who didn't believe that the American government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power during the 1990s. Well, you know, certainly if you'd like to read the book, we carry it, See No Evil by Robert Baer. If there's any truth to that, then who bears the responsibility for what our government is doing and what our secret intelligence units are doing? And who are they really answerable to? Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295 in the Central Coast of California. Our guest today, Tim Smith. Tim, what can we do? We should want to pray. We should pray. We should be active, too. But what else can we do?
Well, I think we need to teach our children. That's, in my mind, one of the primary issues. We covered that on our Need to Know television show the other night. We had a gentleman speaking out against the public education and what's going on there. And he received a bunch of replies in this letter to the editor, and people just got vitriolic with him and just attacked him instead of talking about the issue. What people just don't seem to understand is they're all happy about the test scores, but when you understand what those test scores are related to, we are actually doing worse than we've ever done before. But the test scores look good because they've dumbed the test down. And I heard a gentleman talking about his 10-year-old granddaughter who is tested out of the college level in, I believe it was reading, and she's tested at 11th grade level for for the other, you know, the other courses, and she's been homeschooled all of her life. And time and time again, you see this, people that are taking their time to invest in their children and teach them the truth, they're the ones that are making children that will make a difference in this world, because they're learning how to think. But the folks in, unfortunately, most of public education, they think they're doing great. Well, they just got a great grade in their high school years, and now they get to college, and what is the remediation rate at college? In other words, you have to take these lower courses in order to get up to college speed. And I forget what the actual percentage is, but it's a huge percentage of students coming into the colleges, universities, need to take these lesser courses before they can even be at the freshman level. And that's with our colleges even being dumbed down. And what are we, 29th in the industrialized world or something like that? So I think we really need to educate our children and help them understand, unless you have a foundation, unless you have a solid foundation, not shifting sands, you cannot build your educational thought, you cannot build your life, you cannot go in a direction as a country. And our foundation in this nation is the Constitution. Herb Titus spoke on the United States Constitution versus the UN Constitution at this Freedom 21 here in July, and what a wonderful presentation that was. I had a chance to tape. And also Stephen Pratt, a new friend of mine out of Utah, he spoke on the Foundings of America and the Three Foundings of America, and he went back and showed where our nation came from and the changes that has occurred in the last several years, which culminated after the Civil War and then Reconstruction and so on and so forth. You get to today where we are completely gone from where our original moorings were. And so we need to bring people back to our Constitution, our biblical basis for our Constitution and our life. And once we are there, then we can grow a generation of leaders once again. But right now, those leaders just don't have that basic understanding.
Well, what is it? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and I believe that with all my soul. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. I think it comes from Hosea. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. Back to what you were saying a few minutes ago. If we were keeping Saddam Hussein in power and alive back then in the 90s, don't you suppose we're still keeping him alive now? And this is not the Saddam Hussein they're showing us in court on the nightly news is not the Saddam Hussein that we went to war with. And I, for, to back that up, I'd like to say anybody can go on the internet and look up pictures of Saddam Hussein from back in the 90s or any time before this last invasion, and then compare those pictures with pictures that they show us now in the courtroom, and it's not the same guy.
Well, I know there's some people who feel that way, Mike, and the thing is that we certainly are getting, though, a great show, don't you think? Now, it's sort of like the O.J. Simpson trial. Day after day after day, we saw the O.J. Simpson trial. All of our attention was focused on O.J. Simpson. You know, did he do it? Didn't he do it? Well, the same thing is true with the trial of Saddam Hussein. It's showbiz, and when you understand it's all showbiz, then it begins to make sense. We got to keep the people entertained. And did you have a thought on that at all, Tim?
Well, I think what really strikes me is this whole understanding of propaganda and how dominant propaganda is in our society and how susceptible. We think we're so intelligent, but yet how many people are running out to get a flu shot? How many people are running around just waiting for GlaxoSmithKline to produce this bird flu shot? You know, we are so easily led by propaganda, but the beauty of the time that we live in is just as you're gentleman Mike is saying, the internet gives us access to the truth. So if we're willing to seek the truth out, we can find the truth. Now, there's a lot of garbage out there, admittedly, but still, you can find the truth if you're willing to look for it. And the of course, the example would be, you know, our friend with Al-Qaeda, Osama. You know, he's probably been dead for years because of his kidney failure and so on and so forth. But they still trot out these pictures, and, oh, you know, here's Osama, say, and it's a different guy. And people are just going, oh, yeah, Osama's still a threat. So propaganda really just drives me nuts.
What's that old saying, you know, in war, the first casualty is the truth.
Yeah.
I believe that's absolutely true. Anything else you'd like to say, Mike?
Well, it's almost like they're putting up these shams. Like this, the current Saddam Hussein, it's almost like they're putting him up there just to see how dumb we really are.
Well,
we'll actually fall for it.
We have unfairly reliable information from some of the people who I would disagree with on everything else, but we do get some of their information. And well over a year ago, almost 2 years ago now, they said Saddam, pardon me, Osama bin Laden was dead. But, of course, you know, they can't let the American people know that. They have so much effort invested in him. For instance, they absolutely refused to try to capture him when we went into Afghanistan. That's the reason we went there, was to get Osama bin Laden. But we did not try to get Osama bin Laden. We specifically did not try. Many of our listeners would like to see the article we have. 7th of October, 2001, less than 3 weeks after the 9/11 attack, where high officials in Washington, D.C. were saying, we're not going to try to get Osama bin Laden. Our job is not to get Osama bin Laden. If we got Osama bin Laden, how would we justify the war? We'll be glad to send you the article if you doubt what I'm saying. And then, of course, why, with all of our technology and the mightiest military in the world, couldn't we capture Osama bin Laden and the few stragglers he had there in the Tora Bora Mountains? And the truth is, we needed an enemy, and Osama bin Laden is the ideal enemy for everybody to hate. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Mike. Anything else you want to say? All right, let's go to Ken calling from Seal Beach. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
How are you doing? Yesterday, Bush proposed another one, the Terrorist Surveillance Act, which is really going to be draconian. He wants to push it through in the next 3 weeks before the Democrats take over. I can imagine what's in this thing. Any comment?
Well, I don't know anything at all about it. Tim, do you have any thoughts?
No, but let me relate something that really I think hits home to the point. Yesterday, a gentleman that I am acquainted with, friends with, has been one of the heads of the Washington County Militia here in Arkansas. He was arrested by the BATF, and he had these secret warrants that were sealed warrants, I guess is the term, and he was arrested. 14 search warrants were issued, and the state, local police powers cooperated with these BATF to go and search through the Washington County Militia. What this gentleman has done, he and a group of guys down there at the militia, number one issue is in the state of Arkansas, all able-bodied males are required to be a part of the state militia. I believe it's over the age of 30 until they're 45 or something like that. Anyway, you're all, as a part of matter of state law, you're required to be a part of the militia. What they have done is they produced a document called the Silver Bullet Document, and what it does, it looks at gun rights, it looks at the Constitution, it looks at all these important things, and then it also looks at the use of these weapons and how militias need to be armed and prepared to stand up for liberty. And so this has been out here for several years, and what they had done several years ago is they started building the Sten gun. Do you remember hearing about the Sten gun?
Yes.
Sten that was used in World War II? Very inexpensive metal that was put together to make these little kind of a little automatic type of machine gun that would produce a nice little pattern of fire, used by the British, used by the underground, the resistance in France. Very, very effective and very inexpensive. And so they used that weapon over there. So these guys sat about trying to figure out how to build this, and they did. They were able to reproduce this and. What they've done is gone back into our legal history and found the documents and proved that what our government is operating underneath today, the laws they're operating, they think they're operating under today, is actually not there. And it's actually not true. And so the militias have the right to possess and protect our particular individual states. And so now suddenly the BATF has come rolling down on these people, and they have been investigating them for 8 months or 9 months or something like that. And so very easily this gentleman Wayne and his group can be branded terrorists. They're a threat to the United States, when actually these guys are defending our Constitution and standing up for the truth. It's so easy to brand our own citizen as terrorists, and I think this is what your caller is getting to.
That's correct.
And in fact, we have up on our webpage something was put out by the Anti-Terrorist Task Force, I think it was about 1999, and it's up there. It was put out by the local FBI in Phoenix, Arizona. It tells how you can identify a terrorist. You can identify a terrorist because they talk about the Constitution.
Oh.
And they fear the government. Oh, my goodness. You know, I really think that anybody would like to pull down a copy of that, fine. If you want a better copy, we'll send you one free of charge. When you have people within the FBI who brand people who talk about our Constitution as terrorists, then, of course, no man's life or property is safe. And not one word in 1999 about the threat of Islamic terrorism, and they knew it because they were investigating it in Phoenix, and they were covering that up from the American people, and they were labeling people like, well, the Christian Identity Movement, they did mention the Christian Identity Movement, we know in Elohim, which is in the state of Oklahoma, Elohim City, the Christian Identity Movement was primarily made up of government agents. The man who headed this terrible terrorist, extremist, anti-Semitic, racist organization was a CIA informant.
Oh, boy.
His right-hand man, Andrew Strassmeyer, was a CIA informant. I guess he was probably a CIA informant. Yeah. And you go right down the line of the list of the people. Most of the people there were working for our government in this whole terrible Christian terrorist organization. Anything else you want to say, Ken, before we...
That's it for today.
God bless. And I'm very, very concerned. But, you know, the trouble we have is that most people are not concerned. Most people would rather just go along and get along without understanding that freedom, like tyranny, is very, very difficult to maintain. And certainly we are moving away from freedom towards tyranny in this country. The legislation that has passed, the Military Commission Act, suspends the right of habeas corpus for anybody who is accused of being a a military combatant. Now, that could be any citizen in America, because anybody who's a military combatant who is helping the enemy. And, of course, if you're criticizing the government when we're at war, even if it's a phony war, even if it's a war we're not fighting to win, they become a military combatant. So I think we should be very, very concerned. Now, it says that this is only for non-citizens, but then when you've been taken away and put in prison, and the courts are limited as far as actually, adjudicating anything to having to do with this act, how would you ever prove you were a citizen of the United States? Since the courts cannot intervene in anything having to do with the Military Commission Act, I think that's rather frightening.
Well, what about your friend Warner and his bill that just passed that October 17th? Boy, what a day that was of signing bills into...
Would you like to tell our listeners what the John Warner Act was?
Oh, it's huge. I went and looked it up on the net and tried to read it, and I couldn't.
Well, it's known as the John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007. It suspends posse comitatus and allows the government, without the permission of the states, to bring military forces into our states. And for the first time in over 150 years now, the president has taken unto himself, in the name of course, opposing the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's probably been dead for several years, has actually, now they can move the troops into our individual states. And then we have to ask, why did they give Halliburton $385 million to build detention camps in the United States? Well, Tim, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I think the biggest thing that scared me about this is the president now has the right to come in and send the National Guard from your state wherever he wants it, so he can overrule the governor of your state. Our Constitution was set up so the local would be the most powerful, and it would decrease up to the federal. It's absolutely inverted, and they just took away our rights of sovereignty in the individual state, saying the president can come in and order the National Guard of that state to do whatever, and even
hold,
in the...
Hold that thought right there. All right, Tim, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, let's look at this John Warner Act. Let's talk about what Posse Comitatus is all about, the Alien and Seditions Act.
Hey, the most interesting thing, Tim, is, isn't it interesting that the media didn't cover the John Warner Act? They talked about the Military Commission Act, but there was so very little about the John Warner Act.
But that act, that piece that we're just talking about there, gives the president the right to have the military intervene in issues of public, within our United States. Really stuck out for me was one of the things that they said they could intervene for was the flu. If we have a flu pandemic, like the bird flu. And we know the bird flu is a huge hoax. We know that it has nothing to do with anything medical as far as a serious threat to anybody. But you say a lie long enough, loud enough, people will begin to believe it. And so they can move the military in to force you to get a vaccination is basically the way I read that one little piece of that act.
Well, I think that what most people do not know is that at the present time at Fort Detrick, Maryland, they have a number of laboratories working full-time to create terrible new biological diseases. Now, if anybody would like that verified, we'll send you the article out of the Washington Post. I read it because sometimes they have things that you'll never find any other place. They have violated every international treaty we've ever signed. And they're, in the name of defending ourselves against biological agents, they're creating new and terrible and more lethal diseases than ever before. And they say, we don't have to worry, they'll never get out of the laboratory. Well, the anthrax got out of the laboratory right after the 9-1-1 attack, and we know that the government knew about that because Dick Cheney and the entire White House staff started on Cipro on the evening of September 11th. And they knew there was going to be an anthrax attack because it's a dangerous drug, and you wouldn't take it unless you knew the attack was coming. So why didn't they tell anybody else? And why can't the FBI figure out who sent the letters to all those Democratic senators and Democratic congressmen?
Amazing stuff. Well, we over here in Arkansas, we've got a huge rice crop, and what's happened to the rice is there's some genetic crossover from a test plot of some rice they were developing to use as biofuel. and this rice was designed to be resistant to the different herbicides, and that got into the actual food crop. And people were saying, oh, man, this could never happen. You know, it's all protected. And boom, there it is. Yeah, and our rice crop has now been shut down. It can't be sent overseas. It can go nowhere. And people are saying, well, it's no big deal. It really won't hurt you. Well, if it won't hurt you, why won't Japan accept it? Why won't Europe accept it?
Hold that for out of time. God bless. Thanks very much, Jim.
All right, Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And, well, this afternoon, it was a fascinating problem, and I think that Tim's very, very concerned, and he should be very, very concerned, and you should be very, very concerned. Would God bring retribution on this country? Are they really setting up concentration camps here in America for citizens like you? Well, we actually have a 4-tape set on concentration camps. We have a concentration camp special where you'll actually see the video film footage of the Iran-Contra hearings where Congressman Jack Brooks is trying to ask the question to Oliver North about the fact that he was working on a program in the White House to suspend the Constitution and put American citizens into concentration camps. And you'll hear Senator Inouye repeatedly interrupting the hearings, trying to keep this information from getting out. And Congressman Brooks said, I was just reading about this. I wanted to find out if there really is a plan to arrest American citizens. And Inouye said, we cannot talk about this in open session. We'll talk about it in closed session. We will not allow that to be discussed here. Why? Because it was being filmed, it was going out on television, and they didn't want the American people to know. At that time, everything was in place. And then you'll hear Congressman Henry Gonzalez, longtime chairman of the House Banking Committee, saying, and the only person who really got close to the truth was Congressman Jack Brooks, because there really is a plan, in the case of a national emergency, to arrest American citizens and suspend the Constitution and put them into concentration camps. You need to go to a concentration camp special, and we'll send you material on this about their plan for the use of civilians in the concentration camps under the military control. We're moving towards a military dictatorship in America in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden. And if you doubt that he's dead, go up on the Internet, and you'll find, just type in Osama bin Laden dead, you know, under Google, and you'll find literally hundreds of references to it. It's been well known for a long period of time, but we can't let the American people know that. After all, isn't that what we're doing over there in Iraq? We're fighting terrorists, and because we've got to fight Osama bin Laden on the streets of Baghdad, or we'll have to fight him on the streets of New York. And yet it's been over 5 years since the 9/11 attack, and there's not been one major terrorist attack in America. Is it possible that they're not telling us the truth? Is it possible that they're not sealing the southern border because they know there is no threat of terrorism? Is it possible that they're maintaining the catch and release program where people who come from terrorist countries, Muslims from terrorist countries, are apprehended at the southern border and then immediately released and told come back in a couple of months for a deportation hearing, and they never come back? Is it possible that most of what you believe just isn't true, that your mind is being molded, your tastes being formed, your ideas suggested largely by the people who control the television media and the print media here in the United States and most talk radio? Is it possible that we're telling you the truth and everybody else is lying to you? Well, we want you to check our facts. If anything we've said today you want the documentation on, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get our concentration camp special. Or just get the 4 tapes on concentration camps and specifically request the report on this use of civilian internees by the military. And that's the civilian internees in the concentration camps. And this came out a long time ago. Everything that's going on today was planned just as exactly as the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq had been planned long beforehand. And then we have some great new tape sets that we'd like to suggest. The Changing Church, Globalism, the Secret Threat, the Impending Police State. medical myths, the truth about the Holocaust, that and so many other great tape sets you need to get. And then, of course, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but remember, Radio Liberty is on the front lines of the battle.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Shull. President Bush and soon-to-be Speaker Nancy Pelosi are promising to work together after their first meeting since the elections. Jerry Bodlander is at the White House.
The sometimes bitter campaign talk was a thing of the past as the president and Pelosi had lunch, then told reporters they agree on the need to find common ground on critical issues facing the country.
We're going to work together to address those challenges in a constructive way.
We both extended the hand of friendship, a partnership to solve the problems facing our country.
There was no mention of any of the thorny issues on which they disagree, like the war in Iraq, and the two ignored a question on whether they even discussed the war. Jerry Bodlander at the White House.
The Democrats aren't in charge just yet. President Bush is giving the current Republican leadership a wish list.